AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the dust begins to settle on the Scottish Cup final. Celtic have another trophy in the cabinet. So what comes next for the likes of match winner Adam Ida and others? Leon Balogun appears to have signed a contract extension at Rangers as the rebuild begins and the Scotland squad get ready to meet up ahead of their pre-Euros friendlies. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Well, that's what it's all about, Gordon, for clubs in this week is looking ahead to next week, but I'm pretty sure the fans of both clubs will still, half of them will want to gloat, half of them will want to share their frustrations about how the game went or how incidents went in that game. And of course we've got a couple of big games ourselves to look forward to, a couple of friendlies with Scotland just round the corner, just in time for the big one, June 14th.
Yeah, enjoyed as much, it wasn't a great game, but enjoyed the Hampden experience at the weekend, Gordon. We said it Saturday night, congratulations to Celtic. Still a lot of talking points about that. Still, you know, the big questions about the disallowed goal, sorry. But a terrific winner from Ida. And I think Brendan Rodgers takes a lot of credit. 2 substitutions, come on, make such a difference. Win a cup final. And then we're looking forward now to kicking off the Euros, the build-up to it. Who will get that? The places in the 26-man squad. So a lot to get on with.
Come on then, 0141-951-1025. That is the number you need. The fallout from the Scottish Cup final continues. What do you make of it now? Cold light of day, dust settle, all those cliches come into play. How do you look back on it? Both sides, victorious Celtic and disappointed Rangers fans, how do you reflect on it? That very seamlessly joins into what comes next. I know it's going to be a long summer of debate and speculation about signings and so on, but what about the immediate stuff, the stuff that's right under our noses on one half of the rivalry? What about Adam Ida, Celtic fans? There's been a bit of debate on this show over the last couple of months. The guy now goes and scores the winner in a Scottish Cup final. How keen would you be to keep him? Or would you rather look elsewhere? Give us your thoughts, please. Rangers fans, reports suggest, although I don't think confirmation from the club yet, reports suggest Leon Balogun has signed a contract extension. There's been so much talk about rebuild and how big that rebuild is and team being at the end of its cycle and so on. So how does that fit in as far as you're concerned? Are you happy Leon Balogun's going to hang around? Or again, would you rather more fresh blood? Give us all your thoughts. 0141-951-1025. Any thoughts at all? I suppose this is the week where we maybe get a bit nostalgic and really look back at some of the finer points from the season that's just passed. If you want to do that, fans of all teams, we are here for you. 0141-951-1025. Give us a call right now if you can. Because of course, in a normal summer, you boys would be
kicking
off, back.
Well, somebody is going to be kicking back tomorrow.
Oh, you're off on holiday tomorrow, aren't you?
I'm away tomorrow, yes.
Is that why you've clearly been on the sunbed?
I've not been on the sunbed. I tell you what, I was killing myself with Matt.
Look at the colour of that face.
There must be a light in here that's actually shining right in my face.
It paints you brown.
Because I'm
old real deal there. David Dickinson, welcome. Ron Seal, real deal.
Outrageous.
Wow, that's unnatural colour.
I'll tell you now. If it's fake tan, I'm starting to sweat.
It's going to be run down the side of your face in a minute.
Could you use me as a barometer here? I'm fairly sallow skinned and you look 8 shades darker.
I'm looking at that's
see that golf course. It's got a lot to answer for.
It's been raining for about a week. To those of you who are listening on radio or smart speakers or apps, this clearly doesn't work. He's clearly catering to the live stream audience on YouTube, Facebook or Twitter. But yeah, that's what you're missing out on.
Have you seen Benidorm, old Madge?
But anyway, as we were alluding to before we got distracted by the shine off his nose, usually the night after the cup final, we review everything and then we sort of kick back. The show goes down to 1 hour, it's one pundit, it slows down a bit, but no, not this year. My summer holidays have been cancelled. It's 2 hours, it is two pundits. We've got reaction to the season, we've got the Euros, we're full steam ahead. So make sure you join us. And please, 01419511025, that is the number you need. So come on down nice and early, because I don't mean to try and like play mind games with you, but the more you call, the less we need to talk about the colour of Gordon Dale's face on the live stream. So it's quite a fair deal, I think you would all agree. But pick up that phone and do let us know. But that is it. It's a domestic season, another one over,
done,
quick as a flash.
Yeah, I think there's been so many ups and downs in it from a domestic point of view, but you throw in the international stuff in there as well. It's been a real roller coaster. And you think back to, you know, Brendan Rodgers, Ange Postecoglou, this time last year, Ange Postecoglou was...
Yeah, this was the day where we were all like, yeah, is he leaving?
So an awful lot of water's passed under the bridge since then. Brendan Rodgers then coming in, the fallout from the Celtic fans about that appointment. Of course, then Michael Beale starting so poorly and being replaced by Philippe Clement. It's just been so much in there. You think of the Champions League nights as well. You know, Celtic showing, you thought, signs of progress, and then they go away to Atletico Madrid and they concede six. You know, a lot of stuff in there. Philippe Clement coming in, winning the first cup. Everyone thinking, this guy is the real deal, and there's every chance they could be witnessing, you know, a Rangers revival in terms of a treble, and it falling apart at the final hurdle. It's been another remarkable season in the Scottish Premiership. And then the player of the year, you know, very few and far between a player out with Celtic or Rangers win the player of the year. And we're lucky enough, it's a Scottish guy going to the Euros, and we pin all our hopes on him, Lauren Shannon.
How do you look back on it? I feel like this is probably just a sign of getting old, and it's a bit of a cliche, yeah, but the seasons just get quicker. I feel like they go by in a flash. Mm. But then at the same time, I was doing some work and looking back on early games. I remember that opening weekend, Rangers went to Kilmarnock and lost. That does seem like ages ago.
Yeah.
When I was watching it back, and you think, you know, Michael Beale was there and some of the different players and so on, that in isolation felt like ages ago. But they do, they seem to sort of fly by at the same time.
It never gets dull, especially with the big two. And we always talk about the big two. But I've looked at the season in a whole, Gordon. I think if you're out with the big two, you look at Kilmarnock, for instance, they must have enjoyed their football down there under Derek McInnes. It's been absolutely brilliant. Dundee, just promoted, finished in the top six. Steve Robinson at St Mirren, absolutely brilliant. You know, so the Dundee United and the champ Falkirk, you get down there unbeaten throughout a season. So the smaller teams played a massive part in it. Unfortunately for my old team, Raith Rovers, and congratulations to Ross County, they were just too strong over the two legs, and they remain in the Premier League, and that'll be a big season for them as well. I just think that right up to the cup final, was it a great game? No, it wasn't, but we still had plenty of talking points. The atmosphere we were in the stadium is still the same. It was electric. It was terrific to be there. And it was decided by a goal from Ida that maybe 2 months ago, people would have probably been saying £5 million. No, I don't think so. I think a lot of Celtic fans have changed their mind.
Well, you can tell him, put him in his place if he's wrong, or agree with him if you can bring yourself to 01419511025. Probably leads us in nicely to a debate on that, Mark. Would you agree? Is it, does a cup final winner like change the situation drastically, or are we already in that camp? What should happen with regards Adam Ida?
Well, I think Celtic should sign him. And I think, you know, I was of that opinion a couple of weeks ago. you know, you did throw up, would you rather Miowski or Ida for £5 million, that kind of...
I actually didn't. People just keep bringing it up for some reason.
And probably I answered then Miowski. However, if it was Ida for £5 million, that was your option, I would have taken him then. Purely because, take away the cup final goal, his contribution in the league... Oh, no.
Oh, we've just got coffee.
We've got an issue.
Golden Gael,
for the second time this season, has spilled his coffee. Oh, but this is worse. This is all over the brand new, for this season, expensive desk. I don't know what's under there.
You're going to need to go and get a towel.
If these lights start flickering,
you're going to...
and these mics start going off, it's very much your fault. I'm only kidding, stay here. Somebody will need to come and deal with it. I don't know what we do.
Do you want me just to fill so that the camera gets... You're an idiot, honestly. I mean, I'm trying to make a serious point. But here comes the heavies in there with the kitchen roll.
You can't walk in the middle of the live stream with a roll of kitchen roll.
Listen, just clean that there. We can't clean it. You're supposed to be talking here.
Right, for anyone who's watching, I can't.
Adam Ida.
I would take him. And it's not just because the cup final goal. I think the contribution he's made over the period he's been here. Now, go back to the Hibs game at Easter Road. You know, he was put in ahead of Kyogo that game. Comes up with two goals, won a last minute penalty. So he's contributed there right away. You think of the Motherwell game, how monumental that was, his inclusion in 45 minutes. The Kelly game. I know it's the... Well done.
Thanks for cleaning up.
I know it's the penultimate game of the season. However, they're still tricky and you still need to start right. He was instrumental in that result in that night. And then his party's played. So I think he's done enough. He's certainly done enough to merit Brendan Rodgers' title.
Let's go to the phones. And a couple of these calls had come in before you led us down that path. So I'll put you on the spot, David, as a Celtic fan, if you don't mind. I know you have other points to make, but... Adam Ida, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd sign him.
No brainer.
Of course, I said when he came, young boy, Irish boy, done a couple of things, but he scored what, 10 goals since he's been.
Yeah, and so did you think that before the final, or does the final sort of put the cherry on top?
When he came, a few of my friends had said, "Nah, he'll not do it for Celtic," and I'm saying, "I reckon he'll score 10 to a dozen goals for us." Between now and the end of the season, which is, he scored 10 goals. He won as a cup final, scored important goals in the last minute of the games, Hibs, Motherwell. Yeah, £5 million. And this day is for a striker, I'd sign him.
I think it was 9, I could be wrong, but I don't want to split hairs too much. It's round about that figure. Gordon, you didn't get the chance, I don't think, to answer in amongst spilling the coffee.
I was on the fence about... a month or so ago, Gordon. I had to wait to the end of the season. Would I sign him now? I think I would. Not just for a cup final goal. I think that when Celtic needed something different, going down to Rugby Park, I thought he was different class. You know, Brendan Rodgers pulled a masterstroke for me, didn't play Kyogo, who's our top striker, played in the cup final, obviously, and we understand why. But it was just a game for him. And I thought he was brilliant, especially first half. I thought he was absolutely different in class. And everybody talked about, you know, a difficult place to go. Okay, they went down there off the back of the confidence of beating Rangers and being in a good spot, but he still had to perform. Then he comes on and he scores. If the wages were right, I think, just listening to Brendan Rodgers, I don't think he gives anything away. But just listening to him, I think he would be quite happy to take him on board. I think he can get more out of him.
Well, I'll play that clip in a second. But I mean, Mark, even just as part of it, look, there's no point in pretending overall Celtic's recruitment strategy this season was brilliant. But in January, they needed something like that. He came in and was an option when Kyogo wasn't, you know, wasn't maybe hitting heights or whatever. And of course, if you want to connect everything like we do in this city, Rangers fans wanted a striker and didn't get one. Yeah. You look at some of the goals he does scored, so you think definitely is one Celtic should try and push the button on.
Well, I think if you go for a striker on loan in January, you look for them to make an impact, you look for them to score goals, and you look for them to take you in the right direction. I think he has done all of that. I think he's the perfect kind of player to replace Kyogo when Kyogo's not doing it, when you want to change your style, when you want to go a bit more direct. But he's not just only about going direct. You know, he can link up the play fine as well, and he can finish. And he's done all those things since he came. So if that's what you're looking for in a kind of sort of trial period from January to May, then Eder's ticked all those boxes. But crucial goals, you're always judged as a striker. As Daz was, as we always say, and Dessers and Kyogo and Celtic Rangers, you're always judged on big goals. And he's scored big goals, none more so than the winning goal in the cup final. So if that doesn't go in your favour, I don't know what will.
Yeah, a couple against Rangers, I suppose, didn't he too?
Rangers, yeah, of course, again. So, you know, Celtic transfer business in January was slaughtered. And you know what? I wasn't really head over heels about either coming in either, because you're thinking, he can't get a game for Norwich. How's he going to fit here? I must admit, when I seen him at first, I thought, no, there's something in it. Especially away at Easter Road to him, come on. Him and Kuhn came on at Pittodrie. And of course, Kuhn made an impression on that day. I think he got the equaliser, a deflected goal. But it's been either that's really kicked on and stood out the two of them.
What else are you thinking tonight, David?
The point is, he's had four games against Celtic, Philip Clement. Four games. He's tried everything. On Saturday, he absolutely spoiled the game. He played five in midfield and Dessers to come back to be the six and killed the game against the three. There were no space to play. The only one team trying to play football was Celtic. You've seen it in the first half. And Dessers get taken off at half-time. Yeah, he had a wee knock, but it was absolutely knackered because he kept on chasing back.
I think it was more than a knock. I think he left the stadium in a boot, but I take your point.
It was knackered. And the one thing is, they were talking about Lundstrom and the ridiculous tackle he'd done at Celtic Park. He went in the last minute of the game, Matt O'Reilly with a scissor to try and take him out of the game. You can see it. Matt O'Reilly jumps it and sees it. He runs at the same speed that the one that he done at Celtic Park, with both legs open, to take Matt O'Reilly out of the game in the last minute of the game. And this is a guy who was supposed to learn and be, he's no do that again. If he'd have hit Matt O'Reilly, that was a leg breaker again. Look at it back and see it. You see it in his face, straight in at full pelt to take him out of the game. Nothing else.
I mean, we saw it. We were right above it. I remember it well. I think David's description was right. I don't mean to shoot it down straight away, but you know, it's the fact it didn't contact him, and therefore there's not much more to be said about it. I think David is right, and if it did, and if and so on, Matt Riley's cute. He saw it coming. He's skillful enough to sort of clip it over and jump out the way. But I don't know if it requires much more analysis. Maybe I'm being unfair.
Where I'll agree with David, but sort of agree with the Rangers manager, because I said it before the kickoff at Hampden Gordon. I thought that if he came out with the same formation, same tactics, everything was the same in the last four league meetings, it would end up probably with the same result. And to be give him credit, he didn't. Did they waste the game? It wasn't the greatest game in the world, I've got to say. I don't think Celtic played attractive football when they got the ball as well. So it takes both sides. But what he says to his fullbacks, they didn't go high up the pitch. They didn't leave their cell open for a counter-attack with Maeda and Forrest on the flanks. So they kept it very, very tight. He was keeping himself in the game. They were doing okay in the second half, but it was one of those cup finals. It was either got to be a bit of brilliance that was going to win it from either team, or it was going to be a sort of a mistake. Now, sometimes I looked at Butland in real play and I thought, a goalkeeper of his quality has got to save that, got to save it. But it swerves a little bit because you see him, when you watch it again, you see him going to the right and he'll be disappointed because he's a top quality goalkeeper. Let's not be kidded here. But all credit, and if any young kid that plays centre forward's watching, that's the biggest lesson in the world. Follow everything in. You get your reward, he wins the Scottish Cup.
To be fair, Mark, we probably can't have it both ways. I mean, David himself acknowledging Rangers hadn't really managed to lay that much of a glove certainly in terms of results on Celtic. So if they wanted to try and disrupt Celtic's game plan and do that, I mean, that's fine, isn't it? That's
Sort of what they're... Of course, I agree with Daz. I agree with the way Philip Clement set up his team to stifle Celtic. And he did, really. It was just that kind of threat going forward. They never quite got. It looked like they were building up a bit of head of steam in the second half, I've got to say. And then they add pace with Matondo and they've got Wright on the pitch and they've got Seaman. And you think, this is the moment he's rolled the dice to really go for it. But they just couldn't cut that clear-cut chance out, and then obviously sucker punched at the end.
We better take another break because that desk definitely needs cleaned again. I can still see some coffee swirling around. Thank you to David, and we're going to speak to Niall, who's on the line. He's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DeYale and Mark Wilson are here. 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. Or you can tweet at Clyde SSB. We were talking about the cup final and the sort of knock-on effects of that and what happens now going forward. The sort of number one question mark going forward right now for Celtic seems to be Adam Ida. Here's what Brendan Rodgers had to say, wanting to keep the match winner after his 9-goal contribution this season.
He's been the real catalyst for us, and today was like a number 9 sniffing in around the box for anything that spilled out. So he's been absolutely immense for us, and he's clearly someone that I would like to do something with. All the players love him, but what I love about him is he's a big game player. So many big moments he has stepped up and stepped up to the plate for us. So I was so happy from him. Boy from Ireland, playing as a striker, scoring a goal in the Scottish Cup final against Rangers. Wow, what a summer he'll have.
What do you think, Niall, who's on the line? Would you go as strong as that on your desire to keep Adam Ida?
Good evening, guys. Gordon Mark.
How are you? Okay.
Hi. Yeah, all good. It's starting raining here, so in the car, in the mountain.
Oh, listen, you're no sympathy off us. We're underwater and coffee here since he spilt it in the studio. What are you thinking in Adam Ida? Are you a fan?
In March, you would have bought him? No. Now, 100%, because, let's face it, the guy thrives on pressure. That's for the simple reason that guy loves pressure. Other strikers fold. That guy loves it. You can see it, he thrives on it, and he scores when you need him to score. Every time this year we've needed a goal, Ida comes on, goal. Enough done. Enough said.
So 5 million was the fee in that ballpark, you think, no-brainer, go for it?
100%. Hargett's in it. Every time something have needed a goal this season, and there's been a lot of, we're talking about from January, people scoffed at it. We all scoffed when, but he came in January, we all went, come on, is there no one better? He can't get a game at noise, as Mark said there, and you're going, see, by March, you're going, maybe. Now you're going, every game Celtic needed a goal, he brought him on as a substitute, or he started him. Kilmarnock, big game, third last game of the season, need a result, 1-0. And the guy, he sees that he just, pressure is his game, and that's what Celtic needs, someone who can actually thrive under pressure. And with a manager like that, and he has an A-list manager behind him, the guy can really get better now.
I'm now starting to wonder if we'll find anyone who doesn't think it's a good idea. And then, listen, recency bias can maybe play a bit of a part. He finished the season so strongly. I'm now just getting the impression, looking at Twitter, I know it's only a couple of calls, listening to you two, maybe it is a bit of a one-sided debate at this moment in time.
And so it should be, like I say, because you've got to take into account the body of work that he's had since January, and even how he's contributed to the team without scoring, and like I say, his link-up play, and they give him that different option. But I think his attitude's been different class as well. You know, sometimes you don't get your all from loan players either. You know, they maybe come for an easy ride, or, you know, a few games here and there because they're not playing down south. But I think he's been spot on. And Brendan Rodgers touching a great point there. A big game player. That's what you need. If you're a striker and you're brought into a club like Celtic or Rangers, you need to come up or turn up in the big games. Even if you are coming off the bench, and he has big pressure moments, like Niall says, I keep going back to that Easter Road penalty. I mean, the camera's trained in his face and you see the pressure must be on his shoulders at that point to get Celtic across the line, and he slots it away. And then every time he's been asked since, I mean, he was 2 minutes away from scoring the winner at Ibrox before, you know, Matondo pops up with that wonderful goal. So in such a short space of time, he could have had 2 winners against Rangers in such significant games. That is real contribution. I don't know why you wouldn't sign him. And you're thinking of £5 million
some
Celtic.
Some cynic is about to pop up and say if he just scored the penalty at Tynecastle,
yeah, it could have been even
Celtic
better.
Celtic would have romped the title.
Look, he's had his flaws as well, but you're thinking the money or £5 million or run about that area that Celtic have spent on players in the past, not just in striking positions, but it's a whole load of rubbish that's came through the door. He's been, from January to May, a good return for what Celtic have outlaid on him so far. And I think £5 million for a striker isn't that much.
It's all about value for money for your £5 million, because I think there'll be a lot of questions. We might get it tonight, Gordon. Well, Majovski up at Aberdeen, would you go with him first? Now, one, I don't think you're going to get him for £5 million. I think Aberdeen will ask for a little bit more. Secondly, he has been in the building since January. He's settled in to being a Celtic player. He's an instant hero. He scored the winner in the cup final. He's played such a part. He's turned everyone around because, well, not everyone. I think there was a lot of doubters out there thinking, you know, he's come up from Norwich, £5 million, no, we can do better. I think the boy in the last month or so has been different class. And I think he does give Brendan Rodgers something completely different for Kyogo, which they need. Brendan Rodgers has now worked with him for those months. He knows probably everything about his game now. He's confident he can take him to the next level. I would see that being a good, good bit of business for Celtic.
End of the line for O, or does he still have a place?
Nah.
If that was to be the case, I mean the signing.
Yeah.
You like O, don't you?
I do like O, but I don't know if he's going to be given the chance that he would probably need, because if a quality striker like Eder comes in, you've got Kyogo there. It would be very difficult to get in the team.
What else is on your mind tonight, Niall?
Guys, reverting back to the first caller last night, I was listening on the catch-up earlier on, walking the dog, and they said about, where Kenny Miller was on last night, too, and the Rangers fan was saying about four or five big calls have went against Rangers in the Glasgow Derby games this year. And all of a sudden, it's like, and Kenny Miller agreed afterwards, yes, four or five big calls have went against him, but they're all called correctly. And VAR, none of us like VAR. We all dislike the whole time, and it takes 3 or 4 minutes for a silly decision, which we can all obviously see. But they've got the big decisions right in the majority of the games. And it seems like there's a whole, we're being persecuted because decisions are now going against us and they're being called rightfully. And that's, so what do we go with VAR? Is it because that some teams are not getting the decisions they were getting for the last 10, 15 years? It's gone against them that all of a sudden now, none of us like it, but the point is, VAR's doing its job, and it's doing its job well in the majority of games. One or two mistakes, but look at the Premiership in England. It's chaos sometimes. We're nowhere near that level, I believe, in Scottish football. I think VAR, like it or not, it should be kept, because it's getting the majority right, and the referees, 99% of the times, are calling the decisions correctly.
Well, like, it's also subjective, as we've said before, so, you know, one person's idea of right isn't not shared by other people, perhaps, and we are in danger of letting it totally take over. So let's limit it to that weekend then. What we saw, what did it get right, what did it get wrong, what is your take on...
Well, the big calls you're obviously talking about, I thought the disallowed goal, I thought they got that right. Look, I sympathise with the referee. It's very difficult to see that, I think. And that's, I suppose, what VAR's there for. But I think you can clearly see that Raskin pushes Joe Hart. There's two hands on his back. I hear the moans that Greg Taylor is fouling Raskin before, but I honestly don't think there's enough in that. I think if a foul's given for that, then everybody in the box is, at every corner, is going to be penalised. So you're never getting that foul, but you cannot put two hands in the back of a goalkeeper and push him. And the other ones, look, Philippe Clement's right. The one in Stirling that Liam Scales barges into the back of him just outside the box, it is incredible how the referee doesn't give it, but it's never going to be referred to VAR because it's outside the box. They would have looked at it. I think we all looked at it at the time and thought, oh, was that on the line? Because then it would have been referred. But it was a foul. It was a blatant foul. And it wasn't given. So I get the frustration, but it was never going to be a penalty. But I thought it was the right decisions on the day.
Yeah, the big talking points, obviously, disallowed goal, Gordon. Let's not be kidded here. When I looked at it first, I thought that... I thought Raskin does push Joe Hart. We clearly see that. Is it enough? I think it is. But I've got to say, I think he lets Joe Hart out of jail because I think he was caught all over the place. If he doesn't push him, I don't think Joe Hart's getting that ball, right? I think it's going to go. But when you look at the situation, I do believe it was enough for a free kick. And I thought the referee called it right. Mark's right, because we were all sitting there. When Sterling got pushed with Scales, right away I thought penalty kick. Then we had the advantage of looking the monitor a few times outside the box. So I can understand that. But on the push, I think that's the right call
by,
for me.
By the way, another one. I thought, and I still remain this opinion, that Celtic should have had a penalty. I still think that's a penalty kick. With Davis. And, you know, I said at the time, I sympathise with defenders. I really do, because, you know, I would hate to be in that position. It doesn't mean to handball it. But if we are going with the standards and we talk about consistency and same people being on VAR for separate games, those have been given, or lesser handballs than that have been given this season as penalty kicks. So I think Celtic should have had a penalty. And that sort of just got brushed away because of the goal, I think, took centre stage, the disallowed goal. Celtic, for me, should have certainly had a penalty going by what we've seen this season.
This is what I love about the game. It's all about opinions. Mark makes a good case here. I totally disagree. I don't think it's a penalty in a million years. I think they called that right. I don't think... look, we've seen some strange penalty kicks given this season with handball. So let's not get away from that. But I don't think his hand was out the way. I don't think he made his body any bigger. I think it was just one of these situations. I think, obviously, clearly a referee, for me, looked at it very closely. But I think he called that correctly.
Well, we can agree to disagree all summer long by the sounds of it. Anyway, thank you to Niall on the line. What about George, who's on? George, the guys have been debating what sort of next for Celtic and the immediate steps maybe surrounding Adam Ida. What are you thinking?
Good evening to the panel once again, Mark and Daza and yourself there.
Hello.
Guys, it's brilliant, absolutely. Can I just say, first of all, before you carry on, that you're using a biodynamic Delta Tango DT770 Pro podcasting headset, which is plugged into, I'm certain it's a Shure studio board underneath the desk. So, Dazza, don't throw your headset off. It's quite, you'll not get electrocuted or anything, because it has got a cutout circuit on it. So just to make that safety, these guys, I'm a studio audio engineer.
Wow!
I've no clue what he's talking
about. George, I'm not going to lie, I didn't expect this. And yeah. you could be talking Japanese for all I know.
No,
I'm just
by the
trust
way,
you.
On the side of your headphones is DT770 Pro.
Oh, sure.
It's on the side of his headphones, George. That's amazing.
George, you know your stuff. So we're fine. If he spills coffee in this desk, we're all right.
I am an engineer that way, so I do a lot of other things besides that. But I just want to on. I think you're right there, Mark, what you're saying about when you were saying it earlier about Adam Ida. If we'd asked any Celtic fan in January who Adam Ida was, he'd have been going, this guy doesn't get a game for Norwich, he's a young kid, he's not going to come in and make much of a difference to what... We all thought Brendan was getting let down back then in January, his hands tied behind his back. But if you'd asked me up even before the Kilmarnock game, would I have paid £5 million for Adam Ida, I'd have bit the hand off. I think he's better than Majofsky and much better than Shankland. No disrespect to the boy Shankland, he's done really well this season. But I think there's more progress in Adam Ida. And I think, you know, Brendan Rodgers, what he's done to Matt O'Reilly for last year to this year is incredible. And I can see the improvement already from January to now in the Adam Ida. So I think it's a spot on, guys. I think we would spend £5 million all day long for the boy.
I think George makes a good point there that everybody thought Brendan Rodgers was let down in the transfer window. He kept saying that he wanted four players, and then these two arrive. And I think a lot of people just assumed that maybe it wasn't his doing, or, you know, maybe these were pre-planned for a previous regime, or maybe Ida was his second or third choice. But with the return Ida's gave and how much Rodgers has used him, it goes to show you probably Brendan Rodgers' choice to bring him in. And now he's saying he would love to work with him, he'd love to do something again because he sees real progress, like George is saying. Then honestly, I would be shocked if it didn't happen. We keep chatting about Celtic are cash rich, all this money in the bank, they're going to need a big squad, they're going to need goal scorers within that. Why wouldn't you just invest the £5 million? The big
thing, almost as if he knows that we're discussing this. Adam Eder's just posted a goodbye video on his Instagram, such is the way of the world now. It says, boys, with the H in it, obviously. Yeah. Thank you. The last few months have been amazing. I've loved being part of this special team. I've made memories and friends for life. Thank you for all the support whilst I've been here. Best of luck for the future.
Oh, no.
He's not coming back. He's posted that. Oh, no. Do you know what that is? That's a reaction one. He's wanting all the Celtic fans.
Please stay.
Please stay. Don't go.
In a couple of months, or a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. That's exactly what I would do, and that's why I'd sign him.
See, listen, to be fair, technically he has left his loan spell, so he maybe, you know.
But you must have an idea. Come on.
So you're thinking,
that would be a kick in the teeth for the last 40 minutes where I've just.
It's an absolutely no brainer.
Well, you could still wish somebody best of luck for the future.
Come on.
Even though you want to be part of it, no?
No, you're not just coming back from that.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Can we delete the last 40 minutes?
George, has Instagram just killed this debate, or is this just different? Is this just what happens nowadays?
Well, I think he has to go back to his parent club. Obviously, that he has to. Obviously, he's got his contract to Norwich, isn't he? So that's what everyone. It's common sense, guys, that he has to go back there, and then whatever takes place is going to have to take place. And I think the boys at Wagner, Mr. David Wagner, is no longer the manager. So that may also create a little problem there as well. We know he's maybe wanting to see what like Adam Eder is in co-season. So, again, it's all about figures and what Celtic are willing to pay.
There you are. See, George is like the most smartest guy in the room. He's bamboozled us with his audio knowledge.
Don't get carried away by
Instagram. He's a part-time psychologist as well. He's got Adam Eder all figured out. George, you're the man. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. There's George and Milton on 01419511025. I like George a lot. By the way,
he makes a good point about the Norwich manager as well. Mm-hmm. Changing. New manager might just say, nope, he's going nowhere.
So you're on holiday tomorrow, is it?
Yeah.
George.
Thursday
you,
shift.
You and George on Thursday.
I'd like that.
6 to 8. Right, Rangers fans, what do you make of your next steps then? The stuff that's right under your nose. Yes, you'll have a big wish list, I'm sure, for the summer. But like the priorities, and right now, as an example, reports suggest there's an extension to Leon Balogun. Are you in favour of that? Is he a good type to keep around? His experience form part of the centre-back picture for next season? Or should it all be fresher? Should it be something different going forward? Pick up the phone right now if you can, so we can line your call up whilst I tell you about this.
Clyde One, live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Not many tickets left for Clyde One Live. It's this Friday, it's getting closer. We're taking over the OVO Hydro, and we want you to be there. The full lineup features Amy McDonald, Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Emily Sandy, and Texas. Is it true that you're doing something?
I'm there. But like, that's where the big
tune
time.
In
performing.
Buy
no,
your tickets.
No, I'll be backstage. I'm interviewing a secret act who's not yet to be announced.
What?
So
I'm interviewing a secret act.
I'll just be cutting a bit backstage.
Somebody else. Can you go?
I can't reveal, I've been told.
If that makes you go out and buy one of the remaining tickets, then please do. Clyde1.com and Rangers fans, will talk Leon Balogun and more next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are here. 0141 951 1025. Let's touch on the early stages of what comes next for Rangers, because usually the first thing you have to deal with is the players that are there. Will they stay or will they go? And then you maybe start to look a bit further afield. There have been reports in the last few days that Leon Balogun has extended his contract. I wonder what you make of it, Rangers fans. Good idea or bad idea? Let us know. Here's what he had to say after the game at the weekend. He doesn't think that Rangers deserve to lose, and he's also open about his future at the club.
I'm sad, disappointed, angry to miss out. My initial feelings are that I don't think we deserve to lose that game. I think it was pretty much equal. Felt on the pitch like things were going more our way. And then I don't want to call it a sucker punch because I think that's a bit disrespectful, but
feels like one. There's probably a lot of positives to pick out of this game if you compare to the last derbies that we've played. But again, at the moment, it just stings. I think the edge this season that they had over us was probably a bit in confidence, and that they turned up and delivered when they needed to, and that's where we fell short.
What does the future hold for you?
Oh, we'll see. I stood here 2 years ago and pretty much opened up about how much I love the club. That hasn't changed. So definitely there's an openness. We'll see what the future holds.
He's a good talker. So for people like me, you can hang around, but no one else really cares. If you're a fan, you're more interested in what happens on the pitch. Let's bring in Thomas, who's a Rangers fan, on the line. Thomas, if those reports are to be true, and it looks like they are, you in favour of Leon Balogun staying a bit longer?
Good evening, Gordon. Yes, I am, and I'll tell you why. The worst aspect of Rangers' team this season, and actually for seasons gone by as well, is the defence. The defence is absolutely shocking. And if it hadn't been for Jack Butland and goal, albeit he made that faux pas at the weekend, but if it hadn't been for him and goal, I don't know if we'd have finished third or not, because the defence was lamentable and he bailed us out many times. We need to completely rebuild the defence. Having said that, Leon Balogun is the best centre-half at the club, and I include Goldson, Souttar, Davis in that. Far and away, the most intelligent defender that we've got. And whilst I wouldn't build a team around him, I would keep him in the dressing room as a squad player, an able backup. Davy Weir played to his 41. He looks a fit man and looks after himself. But Rangers' rebuild needs to start from number two right through that defence. We need a new right-back. If Yilmaz is staying, that's fair enough, but we need a left-back if he's for the off. We need two centre-halves, two first-team centre-halves. And when I say we need a right-back, Taff's numbers are great, but I would take Taff away from the responsibility of being a right-back. You can't have a player who freezes every time he faces one player, and you see the terror in his eyes every time he faces Maida. We've got a capable athlete in Sterling whose natural position is right-back. Put the boy right-back. If Taff is staying, move him forward. We're short of wingers. Get Taff playing further down the field. Then he doesn't have the responsibility of having to trail back, and he doesn't have the fear of facing Maida. But we need a total rebuilding. Like Souness and Smith, they all, and going back even further, they always started from the defence, and that's where we need a complete refitted defence.
Kenny Miller will be listening, and the suggestion of moving Tavernier up the pitch causes him to shake and rock back and forwards uncontrollably. So I don't want to do that to him. We'll debate that maybe another time. We're a couple of minutes away from the news, and I really liked the case that Thomas put for Leon Balogun. Not by any means wanting to build a team around him, but you can't change absolutely everybody, and you might as well keep a guy that's experienced, reliable, etc. Is that a view you would share, or do you feel that it does? Because the obvious counter argument is just, no, this is, it needs refreshed. People need cleared out. You need to move on, need to evolve.
Well, I think a lot of Rangers supporters are in that sort of a way of thinking, Gordon. For me, Balogun would be simple. It'd all be down to wages. If the wages were feasible and they weren't, you know, the highest payers.
Well, I don't know for sure, right? But I don't know at all. But it's going to be that, isn't it?
Yeah,
you're not making 35-year-old Leon Balogun a top earner at this stage.
Yeah, well, if that's the case and you're able to do that, I think it'd be good to have about. I think he's a decent defender. I know he's 35, but I watched him at the weekend. I've watched him lately. He's still fit. He still can get about. It gives him a wee bit of pace, gives him a bit of aggression. For the wages, yes, I certainly would keep him, but I don't think he'll be probably number one centre. He's number one centre half an hour. He'll play. You know, if Rangers were playing on Saturday, he'd play, no doubt about it. But I think come the summer, if Rangers have got the money to go out there and spend and get some new players in and free up a lot of wages, get some real quality. And I do agree with Thomas that from the back, you've got to start building. Then I don't think he'll be the number one centre-half, but I think he could still have a big part to play because it is a squad game now.
Yeah, I'd keep him. I think his attributes are exactly what Rangers need. I think he's got decent pace about him. I think he's physical enough.
Does that help then? That because the thing that you would maybe look at is the fact that he's 35, and I'm not saying he doesn't have flaws, but lack of pace isn't one of them.
As you get to 35, everyone thinks, oh, legs are gone. Or from 35 to 37, can he run? Balogun can run and he can defend. So for that reason, I would keep him. I think there's a lot of worse
off players in the team than Leon Balogun. The problem is he's only made 19 appearances this year, and that's through injury. And at that age, 35, once you start picking up a couple of injuries, you know, they tend to catch up with you. So it's important for him that he minimises that. He has a good pre-season, he comes back fit. But from what I've seen him this season in those 19 games, I think he's a good bet for to stay at Rangers for next season. But they clearly need to add in that position. But I don't think he's the worst of the problems.
Thomas, it sounds like you've convinced them. Thank you very much to Thomas and Barhead, which means it's already that time of the night for us.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The colour of your face is getting some serious traction on Twitter, Instagram.
Get them trending.
YouTube.
What's that mean?
Everywhere.
In the top.
You're getting it tight. But anyway, the other thing about us staying on all summer and 2 hour shows, two pundits, is that Beat the Pundit's going nowhere.
Oh, we're not playing that, are we?
Yes.
See the music there that's playing in your ear right now that said Beat the Pundit and all that sort of.
I didn't hear that.
I mean, it's literally still playing just now.
Is that Beat the Pundit music?
Oh my word. 01419511025. The lines close at 7. If you want to play Beat the Pundit, please call us right now.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. The summer is just beginning for us. Usually we finish up after the cup final, but not this year. We've got big Euros fish to fry, and we basically need to keep an eye on these two to make sure they turn up in Munich in, what, 2 weeks time?
Fighting fit.
Is that 2 weeks?
Yeah, we'll have to do our close season preparation.
Oh,
pretty much.
We'll have to read up in the Euros, all the squads, and do all our homework.
Yeah,
get our chart out.
Anyway, what it does mean bedroom. Is that we're still here for 2 hours every night, and we need you to get involved as always. We've been looking back in the cup final, trying to tidy up some of the leftover points from that. What does it mean next? Adam Ida has taken to Instagram, as the modern phrase goes, to say his goodbyes to Celtic. Does that mean what you think it means on the face of it, or is there still a possibility that he does return? Just before the news, we were asking you Rangers fans what you make of a potential new 1 year deal for Leon Balogun, so get your thoughts in there and anything else at all. Now would be the perfect time to share them whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I think we do have a decision to make, though, because we know we take Beat the Pundit very seriously with the league table and so on. So when does it finish? When does this season finish and the next season begins? Are we still even playing it during the Euros? Who knows? I mean, I think we probably will be. We're on every
Euros
night.
Euros edition. We've got to.
We are on every night.
Yeah, well, we got enough balls.
Will we treat the Euros like a separate summer tournament?
I think so.
You know, like the one that like Roberto Carlos scored the free kick. Remember that wee tournament? Whatever that was
Le
called.
Tournoi.
Yeah.
Is that what it was called?
I mean, could you treat it like the Euros, of course? I don't know why I went for obscure left field tournament.
Scrub it.
So the current Beat the Pundit campaign runs right up until we leave
for Germany.
No, because
there's people bailing out on holiday. Who was on last night? Muller and Halliday? Did Muller or Halliday?
Yeah, of course they did.
They've got 100% records.
That's good, isn't it?
Kenny, I've got to be honest here. I've been really impressed with Kenny.
You need a couple of wins to go back above Hugh. Hugh is above you, Mark Wilson.
What do I need?
You can go back. No, you can go back above Jim Duffy with a win tonight.
Okay. I've not played in a while, so let's hope the toss of the coins came to me.
Well, Lee is in Livingston. Have you played before, Lee?
No, I have not.
Good stuff. Do you fancy your chances and do all right?
Well, when I play, usually I'm all right, but now that I'm here, I'll probably get zero right.
Nah, I don't think you'll get a zero. I do wonder what like the tax is, the live tax. Do you think you like knock two off what you would get at home? What would the average?
With pressure,
just for the nerves and the pressure.
It's like, see, when I play the 5K minute in the morning. Well, I don't.
I get 10.
I always look at the questions, but I read them on Twitter. They very helpfully put them up there, and I always think, how many would I've got? I think I kid myself on as to how many I would get under the pressure.
Depends how Lee's feeling. Are you feeling a little bit of pressure?
No, really, no.
I'll wait till it starts and wait till you hear that clock going.
It was fine until you said that. Right, heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails, it's Gordon DL. And it is heads. You got your wish, Mark Wilson.
To me?
It is
okay.
You're in the head seat.
Right, all the best, Lee.
Come on, Lee, don't be even nervous.
Let's give Mark some.
I played the other night, actually, didn't I?
Could you just
sorry.
Let's give Mark some greatest hits radio to listen to. Lee, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay? Good man, your 30 seconds is going on the clock and your time starts now. What club did Leon Balogun play for between his Rangers spells?
Queen's Park Rangers.
Who was the Scotland captain at Euro 96?
Pass.
How many fir trees are on Motherwell's badge?
Three.
In what village in Glasgow in the West would you find Celtic's training ground?
Pass.
Who was Partick Thistle's top scorer this season?
Ryan Graham.
A team of Celtic legends faced which European side on Sunday?
Pass.
Currently, who's going to be the only Scot managing in the English Premier League next season?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring Mark Wilson back. Can you hear us, Mark?
Hi. The facials for this guy next to me.
Well, what I think, this is, you can agree, I think they're quite generous questions.
Okay.
But that means that see if you get one wrong, I think the bottle will go.
All right.
I think you need to be on it here because they are easy.
How'd you do, Lee?
Don't tell him, Lee.
They are, but I'll tell you what, see that last one? I'm struggling with that. Well,
just you sit and be quiet. You'll find out in a minute. You ready, Mark?
Aye.
Your time starts now. At what club did Leon Balogun play between his two Rangers spells?
QPR.
Who was the Scotland captain at Euro 96?
Oh, Gary McAllister.
How many fir trees are on Motherwell's badge?
Oh, come on.
One.
In what village in Glasgow in the West would you find Celtic's training ground?
Lennox Town.
Who was Partick Thistle's top scorer this season?
Oh, Brian Graham, Woody.
A team of Celtic legends, you weren't invited, played which European side on
Borussia
Sunday?
Borussia Dortmund.
Currently, who is going to be the only Scot managing in the English Premier League next season?
That's a good one, isn't it?
Oh,
five, Moise, four, three, Fergie.
No, David Moyes.
One. Fergie.
Coming back.
Time up, time up, time up. Lee, how do you think it went then?
Rubbish.
No. I think you're being too harsh. I think there's a couple you'll kick yourself over, but I wouldn't say rubbish. Are you just one of the, you just pay no attention to what your rivals do? Just not interested?
No, at all.
Do you know what? You know this rivalry fascinates me.
Russell Martin.
Ah!
I wonder if there are any Celtic or Rangers fans out there who do know the answer to questions about the rivals, but they deliberately say pass just so that people don't think they've been reading up. Yeah. Anyway, QPR, you both got that right, yeah. Leon Balogun. You're a particularly young man, Lee. How old are you?
I'm only 37. I was only born in 1996.
Oh,
so.
God.
You got a deep voice.
Sound older than that one.
Make sure you FaceTime your next interview.
I did wonder. Because he just dismissed that question as if, how am I meant to know that? So it was Gary McAllister.
Yes. It's good stuff.
2-1 to Mark Wilson, mate. However, yeah. You never looked at the steel man, the crest that Gordon Dale wears so proudly.
Oh, really?
Three for three. Trees.
Stretched across his big.
Did you just say boob? Easily the first, definitely the first time the word boob has been mentioned.
I was going to say boob, but I wasn't sure if I was allowed to say boob. Live on air.
Strange bunch.
I like to say that. I mean, a lot more now.
I would say like you can get away you can get away with saying it like once or twice and then it becomes weird.
Don't do it.
Three for trees and Lee got it. He's just up the road in Livingston.
Three for trees.
25 minutes up the road, I don't know.
Is it?
Yes.
Three.
Again, this is one Lee's just not interested. Celtic switches off. Mark Wilson spent many days on the treatment table in Lennox Town, so he's bound
running
to
around the towns rehabbing.
So you go back in front.
For some reason, I had Barrowfield in my head.
That's the name of the
open goal.
That's the name of the original.
That was the old one where they've just
they're going to redo.
Yeah, have you seen it? Yeah, they're putting the foundation things for.
The only thing the producer missed out the night for him was what was his postcode.
I know, Partick Thistle question he's bound to get right, Brian Graham. But Lee got that as well. Lee was fine. Lee's got three at this point. It just so happens you've got four. And then again, it's another Celtic question that he was just like, not interested. Borussia Dortmund.
I know.
Was your invite lost in the...
It's just not coming. Nah, has it? We've picked that Legends team and I'm nowhere near it.
Because I'm wondering... I mean,
you were never anywhere near it. You were just a jersey filler, let's be honest.
I'm looking at some of the names and I'm thinking, to be fair, I'd have Mulgrew before you.
Without doubt.
Izaguirre and Lustig and Samaras and Hooper.
I'd have Shadow.
I think you know what's the most insulting thing? That they guys get flown from halfway around the world and I live 10 minutes along.
You drive yourself.
They could have just flown me. And I would have been there in 10 minutes.
I think there would be no expenses attached. And even... I mean, a friend of ours, but I mean, Sid's about 70.
Was Sid playing as well?
He still gets the invite.
Sid.
You just can't get a call up for love nor money.
I can't. By the way, 70
players,
well.
I think Kenny Miller will get an invite before
you. I think he knocked it back.
It was Borussia Dortmund. You're not bitter. You got it right. So you stretch your advantage. 5-3.
It's done.
And none of you good question this, but you should know the playoffs. It is Russell Martin.
That's a good one. I wouldn't have got that.
Much well, harder.
He's the only Scot currently who's going to manage in the English Premier League next season after coming up via the playoffs with Southampton.
Good victory. Back to back victory.
See, I like that Mark. Question. That was a good question. Because that made you think, but the rest Celtic, Partick Thistle, where did they train?
Lee, I think you did fine. It was a three, it wasn't enough to win. But you take that, would you not? Just a respectable defeat.
Three goals in my debut.
Exactly.
I'll
take that. Something to build on for next time. Lee, as a Rangers fan, we were asking the other your fellow Rangers fans about Leon Balogun. Are you a fan of him staying around?
I was a bit gutted when he went the first time round. He's a good player's experience, so even if we get a new couple of signings in, can maybe show them the ropes. And I'm glad we've got them for another year anyway.
Is it also built around the, I mean, Mr. Shade says, is extending Balogun's contract the right move for Clermont's rebuild to challenge Celtic?
If you look at the amount of injuries we've had this season, if that happens again next season, we've got to need somebody with that experience to fill in the spaces. So,
because that's the thing, Mark, you know, Mr. Shades, he's clever. He knows what he's doing there. If that's the way you're going to frame the question, is Leon Balogun the man to bridge the gap between Rangers and Celtic? Well, no.
No.
But that's probably not the question either, is it?
Yeah.
You can't clear everybody out. You just simply can't. You need players that you can rely on, even if they're not first choice all the time. So is it more about that rather than...
Of course. And we just touched on it. You're going to need a big squad and... You know, in your squad, you're going to need players who can really contribute and stand up to the test. I think Balogun is one of those. Now, I'd agree with Daz. I don't think he'll, day one, with a fresh squad, he's going to be a starter. But he's still going to be a reliable asset within that squad, no doubt about it, when he's needed. So, see, I think there's other ones in there who will be departing the club, who deserve to depart the club, who Rangers need to get away from and move forward from. But I think Balogun's earned his place there for another season at least.
What hurt more, Lee, the cup final defeat or that beat the pundit loss?
Beat the pundit.
Exactly.
No, the cup final, definitely.
How do you look back on it now that the dust settled a bit?
To be honest, I was a bit I'd consumed a fair amount of beverages, so
just numbed the pain. How do you look back on it now that the headache's away?
To be honest, I thought we were in the game, not for the 90 minutes, but I would say they put themselves a bit and a bit controversial, but I think Rangers' goal should have stood. You see him at the back post.
I think loads of people think that. I mean, there's a debate. You guys don't. That's fine. You both said you thought it was a foul. I think going back to Leon Balogun's take on it, which kind of matches Lee's. You know, there was a lot, because Philippe Clement said it, so that, you know, people latched onto it about Rangers being the better side. Leon Balogun said he felt it was probably quite even. And we were saying last night, it probably wasn't the type of game where you really need to argue about who was best. Because if one side was best, it really wasn't by much. I mean, we're talking a tiny, tiny amount. I know people do this, and if it makes you feel better, carry on arguing who was best. But it just felt like from where we were sitting... Like I say, if one team had the edge, it was by an absolute fraction.
It wasn't a great game. We'll agree with that. But Scottish Cup final sometimes, as much as we'd love it to be the 3-3, the excitement games and whatever it may be, it was never going to be that. So it was all about winning that cup for both teams. You look at both goalkeepers, didn't have a lot to do. It was always going to come down. We said just prior to kick-off, the Rangers' biggest chance to win the Scottish Cup if we got the first goal. And I thought that was so important. And when I seen Seema and the way Rangers celebrated, I thought this could be their day. Because Celtic were off it. Celtic weren't at their best. So you're thinking, right, that's a positive. Unfortunate for the Rangers side, it got disallowed. I do believe it was a push. I thought Raskin doesn't need to push Hart because I think Hart's caught in no man's land. I don't think he's getting there anyway. So that's unfortunate. And then after that, you're sitting at Hampden and you're thinking, right, it's going to be a piece of magic or it's got to be just one mistake. And to be fair to Bernardo, he got away from Raskin. He decided to have a pop at goals. Yes, Butland, terrific goalkeeper, absolutely brilliant for Rangers. Just unfortunate, spilled off him, but taking nothing away. Striker, and he went, and he got his reward, and Celtic won the cup.
You know what, the goal, Daz is right to highlight Bernardo, and it was really only the one bit of quality going forward. I mean, of course, Dessers had a few things that failed him in the first half, that he dragged shots, and you see Kyogo, you know, slight touches that both goalkeepers just took with ease. Bernardo's shot was the only real significant piece of, you know, positive play that made Butland, he should have done better, but he made Butland save it. It had a bit of power behind it. And then you look at the striker play for Ida. You know, when you look at that closely, you look at Ida's movement to go one way to check the other, and he sends Balogun one way, and that just creates the space the other. So two bits of quality was enough to win the game, but in the full 90 minutes, there wasn't much else.
I like the... This is the modern way. We spoke about Adam Ida taking to Instagram. Did you see Bobby Madden took to Instagram to give his opinion on the the pit? He disagrees with you about the Joe Hart bit and whether he would have got it or not. He said, you simply cannot be behind the goalkeeper and push them as they jump to play the ball. You can debate all day whether you think the goalkeeper would have played the ball. He's only missed it by a matter of centimetres. So what you can't debate is that the push has an impact on the keeper. That can't be ignored by the VAR when they have such a clear image. And then lots of people obviously went back and said, ah, but what about Raskin and Taylor and so on? And he says, there's holding of that nature at almost every set piece. I'm sure if you studied the incident, there'd be multiple offences. You can only punish offences that clearly impact an opponent who's challenging for the ball, and so on and so forth. Oh, this is interesting. He also says he's shown it to six elite European referees. Mm-hmm. Must be still in a wee group chat.
No, agree with him.
And they all say
why foul. Does that surprise?
They all say foul on the goalkeeper.
I agree with him. It's a foul on the goalkeeper, but I still think you can have a debate looking at Joe Hart. Would they have got there? Now, somebody might say, yeah, without the push from Raskin, he probably would have got there. I don't think he is. I don't think he's sharp enough. I really don't. And when you look at it, the Rangers fans' argument is it's not a great big push. He does push him. There's no doubt about that. But I think Joe Hart was caught.
Anyway, thank you to Lee. It was nice to speak to him on 01419511025. And we are going to take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here on 0141 951 1025. I have to say, some of the messages about your skin tone this evening are just...
What's it got to be like?
Overwhelming.
In 2 weeks'
time? James says that you're away to audition for the next Willy Wonka film. At Eric says, did the Belisha Beacon swallow a load of self tanning pills last week?
Yeah.
That's some nick that he's in. Some like it hot, mum. He says,
I think I slept in the sunbed last night.
It's gold, like it's terracotta. It's
what have you been doing? Just sunbeds? Have you been taking those tanning pills and stuff?
Do you honestly think it's 60?
I tell you what,
you said
drink.
You're gonna.
That drink, remember they told us in week one?
Shots.
The tannin shot.
You think I've taken a tannin shot? Yeah.
No, that does look strange.
I think there's a light that beams right onto my face.
It's called the sun.
To be fair.
Made it that colour.
Feel my face.
That is hot.
It is. It's hot. Light, there's a light absolutely killing me.
Anyway, right, we move on. Let's keep going on the phones if we can. We're looking back. We're looking back on the Scottish Cup final. We're asking what comes next. In the immediate future, whether that's Adam Ida, who said goodbye on Instagram tonight, whatever that means, Leon Balogun potentially signing a new deal. Get all your thoughts over to us, please, whilst I give these two dafties this question.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Good question. Can you name six men? Knowing us, by the end of the show it'll be 12. But since the year 2000, six men have won the English Championship playoffs as a manager, and they've also played in Scotland at some point in their career.
Lambert O'Neill.
Lambert, no. O'Neill, no.
Russell Martin.
Russell Martin, yes, as established.
Think me. What about Owen Coyle?
Yep.
Billy Davies.
Yes.
How did you not get Billy?
I was coming to that.
Nah, leave it there, because that's half of them already. That's 3 out of 6. So you're going to absolutely scoosh this by the looks of it. So don't give me
Alec
any more.
Neil.
Oh, you said O'Neill.
Sorry, Alec Neil.
Yeah, he's on there. Oh, jeez, that's 4. I've only got 2 left. This is going to be the shortest full time teaser. You're just too smart, you two.
Yeah, yeah.
We're on
the cover.
Things you never thought you
cover
would hear.
Clogs.
You still big in your 1% club?
I've not watched it for a couple of weeks.
I think about you every Saturday night when I see it on TV.
Are you doing all right in it? Many of you won.
Mrs. Duncan's spectacular.
Is she?
She's good. She's
get
really
involved.
Good.
By the way, you notice the amount of people on that. Their other half is in the audience as well, playing. How did it work that?
I'm pretty good at it. I would fancy my chances, but I think she might have the edge, I have to say.
Is she?
Get the 2 years.
No,
auditioning for it.
Not.
I've got down quite low, but I've never even, when I look at the 1% question, never got it. No.
Seriously?
No.
How many bottles of red wine have you had by that point, though?
I'm shouting at the telly.
I watch it back
the next day and I'm going, oh, I don't know.
Don't
the
even
answer
remember
to
that.
I said earlier, breaking news comes from social media these days, and Adam Ida had posted the sort of goodbye to the Celtic fans. The caller who was on at the time, shrug of the shoulders. Well, he's bound to say that. He's under contract at Norwich at the moment. It doesn't mean that he couldn't sign. This is what he said anyway, Adam Ida, when he was asked about it after the weekend.
Words that they're feeling, you know, seeing all the fans, how they all react and the love you guys. Honestly, there's nothing better.
Look, when I signed that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to play games, score goals, and I think I've done that quite well this season. And I'm confident again. I've said it before, coming here has been the turnaround in my career. You know, the love I've got from everyone has been amazing. I've back enjoying football. I think I need to go and celebrate and enjoy myself throughout the summer. We've had a long season. Look, if it comes to that, I'm sure there'll be conversations. But right now, I just need to take my time.
What do you think, Paul, who's on the line?
Well, I'm trying to make a sort of wider point about the... Well, first of all, Ida, I've been a fan since he came. I think they need to get away from this whole obsession about where people come from. The kind of Henry Norwich, all that kind of stuff. The guy's a big game player, as Brendan Rodgers says, and it's an absolute no-brainer, I think, to sign him. Bernardo... Again, I kind of stuck up for him in the Champions League games, and I think he's a ready-made replacement for Matt O'Reilly. So if you add the two of them up, and you have Kuhn as a neutral, maybe he's not, then all of a sudden the transfer policy and the transfer windows don't look so bad. I'm actually frustrated that Hugh's not on tonight, because his words were that Adam Ida was okay. And the jury was still out on the rest of them. Kenny Miller said last night it was a mistake to win the game. I mean, he can't bring himself to say that Bernardo, you know, uses his strength to get by Raskin. He powers into the box. Uses his technique to serve the ball.
Paul, we don't always have to project this stuff onto other people, right? We can just sort of calm down and just enjoy it. People saying it was a mistake by Jack Butland is not controversial, Paul. Everybody's saying it, and it's not to take anything away from Celtic. Don't worry about it.
Okay, well, I'm just highlighting the two players that I'm on about, their quality in a big game, and I think it's, again, they're young players, and they will also have a sell-on value, which is a wider issue about, you know, the player trading model, getting back to Hughes' phrase again.
Yeah, it would be a great example if you're talking about that moment and the combination of those two players, because they are the ones that you would maybe be looking at turning permanent from loans. I think you've all said about Ida, right? You've shown your hand on that. What do you feel about Bernardo then? Paul says he sees him as a Matt O'Reilly replacement.
I'm right in the fence. I think he's a million miles away from Matt O'Reilly just now.
Could he become that?
There's times when I see him, Gordon, he encourages me. I thought that obviously yeah, played a big part. I thought he's run, getting away from Raskin, showing the power. I think he showed in some games. There was a wee spell during the season. Everybody was thinking, oh, he's starting to find his feet at Celtic, and then he's fallen away again. I wouldn't totally write him off. I think he's still a bit of work to be done there. But I think if Matt O'Reilly left, and I think every Celtic fan's hoping that's not going to happen, I don't think he's a straight replacement that is going to kick you on.
The difference between Matt O'Reilly and Bernardo is that Matt O'Reilly was brought in for 1.5 million. To bring Bernardo in, you're talking 6 million. So you're sort of wanting them a wee bit further down the road, closer to Matt O'Reilly. And I agree with Az. There's such a big gap between him and O'Reilly just now, I think. Bernardo had good moments throughout the season, but they were only moments, fleeting moments. And he never, for me anyway, he didn't really show me that he was going to, you know, keep that place in the team for a long stretch. Now, he played in big games. The manager played him in big games, and the Champions League as well. Obviously scored against Rangers up at Dundee, Dens Park, round about the Christmas period, against St Mirren. He showed up well, contribution to the cup final. Of course, he had all that, but I just don't know if that's £6 million worth.
But you can't always get the
1.5.
League One in England, and that, you know, that doesn't mean that you don't then spend more on other players. Sometimes they just come from a different market, don't they?
But I just think if you're going to invest that amount of money on a player that you've already seen, remember, and he's been in the building like he has, I just think the Celtic fans would maybe want a bit more and consistent. I get he's still young and he could develop and blossom into this wonderful player, but I'm just going with what I've seen this season, and I'm not quite sure I would.
I think the biggest call will come from Brendan Rodgers. Brendan Rodgers will know how quickly that he can develop him. You know, he's worked with him now for a number of months, so he can look at him and decide, right, okay, by the start of a pre-season, by the start of next season, is he going to be the one? And Matt Riley's not out of the building yet, but is he going to be the one if Matt Riley does leave? He's just got to fill in there. Brendan Rodgers will probably know that. I think the boys get potential, I really do. I like him at times. I don't think he's ready for that just now, to kick Celtic on to where they want to be. And plus the fact, you hear the Celtic fans on here week in, week out, talking about the amount of money that Celtic have got. They're looking for ready-made quality players for me.
I think you could win them over, Paul. They don't sound that far away from being convinced. Give it a go.
Can I make a side point, Gordon, about it? Does the fact that he's coming from Benfica and he's already been in their system, does that ensure that's going to give him more of a pedigree than coming from MK Dons? And the same with Coon, with the TV clubs that he's played for. So, you know, maybe contradicting myself about the Adamida point, but I'm thinking more about Edouard, for example. I think they paid money to loan Edouard originally from Paris Saint-Germain, no less, and then paid $9 million and got, you know, a sell-on. So, you're not going to get them all right. The Asian players, I think, have been hit or miss, but they seem to come at a lesser price and with less of a profile, I guess, is how you would describe it.
Yeah, I mean, 33 appearances this season for Bernardo. I think 15 of them were starts. Is this not all about, rather than just what did he achieve, what did he contribute this season, what are the attributes, what's the skill set, what's the bit that can get better with more experience? Because bear in mind, it's pretty much his first foray into senior football, like ever. Like, you know, he's got a couple of appearances for Benfica and a couple on a loan spell.
I think technically you can see he's very good. He's very comfortable on the ball, and you'd expect that coming through the Benfica academy.
He's quite athletic as well, is he not, though? You look at the stature and, I suppose, the powerful running
however,
of the weekend.
I think he, I would give you that. However, I think he disappears in games for large spells. I think there's games that he's started in or played a large chunk of that you go, I forgot Bernardo was playing.
Is that one of the bits you might expect to come with experience, though?
Maybe, but again, how long are you giving him? Daz is right about Brendan Rodgers. Brendan Rodgers got a great track record in developing players. It's where he started his managerial career in. So he'll have a better idea how long that's going to take to develop. If you're paying £6 million, paid £6 million for Jota, didn't he? Or thereabouts. And you know, they didn't have to wait a year and a half or 2 years to see the best of him. The Celtic fans are impatient. There's no doubt about it. £6 million, they expect players to contribute right away. It's not a project further down the line. And I think they would want somebody to really hit the ground running and be competing with Hitati and McGregor and O'Reilly for that starting position, not just being a guy who can come on and we kind of starts and fits and do it every now and then. So I don't think Brendan Rodgers will opt for him.
Interesting. Mm. Thought you'd be more into it. I don't know why. Not really basing that on much, just thought you would be.
Yeah, I'm sort of weaned towards Mark's argument. I do like the boy at times, but he's still a bit to go for me, because I think what the problem is as well, Matt Riley set such a high bar, and when anybody, and if he does leave, and we're not saying he's going to leave, but if he does leave, then Celtic supporters are looking for someone of the same quality to step in right away. Is he at that stage? For me, he's not just now. He certainly could get there as Brendan Rodgers, he should.
Okay, we'll leave it there, Paul. Thank you very much for taking the time. 01419511025. Well, I thought you took a big breath there.
Sorry.
I wanted to say something.
No. Sure? I'm actually going to visit the Benfica Academy in October, so I'm going to have a behind-the-scenes view of how they develop players.
Tell you what, Thistler.
I know.
Next year.
We're going in one direction. That we'll be loaning players for Benfica before you know.
He'll not come back. He'll be over there. He'll get a job over there. He's
I noticed at the weekend else. To see Partick Thistle, one of the youth teams, won a cup. And yeah. I thought, hold on a minute. How did this happen without him telling us all about it? And I realised, of course, it was the under-16s and he's the under-18s manager. If that makes sense.
No, well, I'm technically head of professional face that kind of incorporates the 16s. But I won't take credit. No, David Elliott and the 16s, great job. And it's not often that Partick won a cup, so...
Can you believe he just did that? That's like... I mean, that's like Brendan Rodgers taking credit for the B team winning something.
Nah, honestly, you've got to,
you know. He's no shame, this boy. He's honestly.
Were you even there?
Of course I was there. Did you not see me in the picture with a cup holding the cup?
I didn't actually.
I done a John Terry. I went down and got the plastic cup.
So Thistle's under-16s did what?
The Cass Cup, Cup Academy Scotland Cup. So they all compete with it. And I was sitting next to Stevie Clark. No, the Scotland manager, but the under-16 Scotland manager is also called Stevie Clark.
You were in his ear, weren't you, giving it?
No, but he was saying how refreshing it is. It's always Celtic and Rangers in these cup finals, but it was Partick against Dundee. And if me as an ex-Dundee United player is nothing better than beating Dundee. By the way, they had fans down.
It's his,
chanting Dundee songs.
It's his 40th coming up very soon. We'll need to get him the new knee pads that he's been desperate for.
Oh, I can't wait to see the gift you're getting me, by the way.
He reminded me the night. You need to get me something.
I said to him he's got to get me a Rolex. The 5th of June. 5th of June, yeah.
Yeah. The week before we go to Germany.
I'm away.
He's away. But he's going to get me a Rolex in Dubai.
You could bring something nice back.
I'll bring
from the United States of the Arabs. Incredible that that's where you're going on your first holiday for 40 years.
I know, I can't believe it. I don't know. I'm not there yet.
A T-shirt printed up with United States of the
Arabs. Yeah, it was
good and well there.
Knowing how tight he is, he must be the only guy that's going and trying to find a B&B.
Nah, mate. My Monzo's went through the roof.
Are you pushing the boat out, are you?
I'm just going. I am going. For it.
Wow. First time ever. You all the money he's saved and scamming everybody else over the last decade.
Without doubt.
I am blessed. You're
going to hate it though. He's going to hate the prices in Dubai.
I don't know when he sees it. I'm not even looking at
Coca-Cola.
He's going to moan about the prices and the rest.
More.
He's going to moan about the prices, the heat.
Listen, I'm ready for the heat. Come on. Tango man's ready.
Anyway, if you've any he goes tomorrow. Anyone get any travel tips? That'd be a good one. Tweet me or phone us. You've not got long before the end of the show. What are the vital travel tips that Gordon DL needs ahead of his holiday to Dubai tomorrow? I'm interested to see.
A good few suggestions on this
at Clyde SSB or the phone number, and we'll get the rest of the answers to the full time teaser next as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. There's still time to squeeze your call in. Whatever it is that's on your mind, as always, this is the time and the place to share it. So let's get your thoughts over to these two before they disappear for the evening. Michael and Giffnock sent in a cracking question tonight. Thanks to Michael again, and your nightly reminder that if you like the sounds of this, if you think you could come up with a question that will catch the pundits out, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Since 2006, men have won the English Championship playoffs as manager, and they've also played in Scotland at some point. So you're doing very well so far. You've got Russell Martin, Alex Neil, Southampton and Norwich, Owen Coyle at Burnley, Billy Davis at Derby County.
Malky. No.
Malky.
Mackay.
No.
Yeah, you made it. Mike McCarthy.
No.
That was my two.
I was worried about Malky Mackay, but I think he went up as a player in the playoffs. Don't think he did it as a manager. Did get promoted, but not via the playoffs.
Alan Irvine.
No.
Steve Evans.
No.
Oh, Steve Evans. No, he never. No.
I would say one is
doable.
One's still tough but doable. The other is brutal.
And he played in Scotland.
That's the bit that you're just.
So you're never,
never
really
getting that bit. No. No. Okay. What's always the clue in the question? No.
You always say that.
What's the clue in the question? Since 2000. So there's always one that's kind of
2000-y.
It wouldn't be 2012 if that was the way the question was framed, would it? So there's one.
It's
way not
Alan McLeish, is it?
No.
Did he do it?
Who was 2000? No. Steve Claridge not scored in the Wembley 99 final.
So it's the manager we're looking for.
Leicester.
Who did Steve Claridge play for?
Nah, I think if I Leicester. Give you, I think if I give you the club, it's maybe a bit easy. Okay, the only other clue I'll give you for this guy is he's got a footballing son as well. Maybe too big a clue. Quite annoyed at myself. Wish I could take that back.
Tell me something. It wasn't Dalglish, was it?
No. Oh, thank goodness. I still think I've shown my hand a bit too much.
Footballing son.
Oh, the silence is not good. That doesn't work
silence
on radio.
Is
it just means that I have to keep talking.
Footballing son.
What's his
manager?
Son's initials.
Oh, no. Hold on, have I got it wrong?
No wonder we can't get it.
There's a relation.
Oh, it's new cousin, third cousin.
He's next door neighbour.
Auntie Mary's married to his Uncle Joe.
Yeah, I think I have got it wrong. Maybe they're not
family.
No.
We were nearly there as well.
Sorry. Come on, get the family tree sorted out. Where is he now?
That's his nephew. It's not his son.
It's even worse.
Oh, I forgot.
What team? Is it? We're not getting it.
You always have got the same name, though. It's not like you've. You'll associate the two of them together. I forgot their uncle and nephew, not father and son, which is quite different. I will grant you that.
Especially getting out of the wrong house.
Yeah.
Any joy here?
No joy. I'm just looking.
The nephew played for Celtic.
Middle distance. Nephew played for Celtic.
Mm-hmm. Come on, you should know that.
Because he played for Celtic.
Yeah, you got all the Celtic questions right and beat the pundit.
But whose uncle was a manager? Uncle.
Right.
Let's bring in David, who's up first. How are you, David?
How you doing, boys?
Not bad. What made you call tonight, David?
Listen, it's just to talk about Paulo Bernardo and whether Celtic should sign him. Basically, if you look at Matt O'Reilly's season before last, you'll see that his goal contributions were very similar to Paulo Bernardo's are now. And I think that, I've been on before saying I hope O'Reilly stays, and I obviously do, but if he leaves and Bernardo is to be a replacement, maybe the responsibility of being first-team regular, you know what I mean? He's shown a lot of responsibility coming on as a sub, so maybe he will blossom into the role that Matt O'Reilly would potentially vacate.
I think David's made a good point. He's done his homework. Forget the season before last. Last season, Matt O'Reilly played 52 times for Celtic and scored 4.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basing it on his goals tally this season, his third season at Celtic, and saying that's the level Bernardo needs to be at right now. Wonder if that's just I wonder if you're just setting your expectations a bit too high. Four goals in 52 appearances last season.
I wasn't basing my analysis on Matt Riley's goals. I was basing it on his all-round, you know, play, how he contributes to the team, set pieces. The goals are amazing for Matt Riley this year. And I think a previous caller mentioned that Brendan Rodgers has maybe changed something in Matt Riley's game about how he gets into the box and when he arrives here. Now, maybe given time, working with Bernardo, that might just come. But if I have to look at the two of them, I think Matt Riley contributed more to the team than Bernardo has this season, last season.
What do you think, David?
Well, I would agree. But I just think that Bernardo really, you know what I mean, but around about the new year, he looked the part. And then obviously, I think, I mean, maybe people coming back, you know what I mean, you don't ever got like one bad game and get out of the team. And then, you know what I mean, young, you know what I mean, I think he's just out of the state, he's 21 or something like that. He's 22, so you know what I mean, he's young as well, in a different country in his first year. I think the Celtic that can get him involved for 6 million in this market. So, yeah, I don't think it's the same.
Oh, David, the line's ropey. I mean, I can hear you because I've got the XP 400 720 headset, as the
best in the business,
an earlier caller identified. But if you were listening at home, you possibly couldn't make out David. He was saying 6 million, you think, is a fair price. You two have kind of said, I think, mostly what you need to say on it. They are a similar age, I guess. Matt O'Reilly's now, what, 23? So Bernardo's would be the same age sort of thing when Matt O'Reilly arrived. You know, got faith that Brendan Rodgers works his magic
with the player
on Bernardo?
Yeah, possibly, but it's how much is that worth? Is it 6 million? Look, if it was a lesser asking price, I would be agreeing with a lot of the Celtic fans who have tweeted in saying they would take him. If it was maybe a 3 million, or it was 3 million with add-ons, I would say, yeah, okay, because he has contributed. But for £6 million, I think you're expected to look for something that's going to impact the team in a more powerful way than Bernardo has done. I think he's been in and out a lot, 15 starts, not really enough. I mean, and remember, we're dealing with a season where Turnbull was never flavour of the month. He was in and out. Hitati spent large periods on the treatment table. So there was a real space there to be, you know, grabbed with two hands, and I don't think Bernardo did that.
I think you put up a good case, David, but it wasn't to be. You've not fully won them over, but thanks anyway for taking the time. That was David and Kerfin on that usual number, and you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB.
Peter Grant, no.
What?
Peter Grant.
What a shout.
All right, no, that is his
no,
son.
No, Norwich. Oh, that's what his. Oh, I went down the sun route. Aye, Peter and Raymond. Ah, okay. Back to drawing board.
You were thinking Peter. Peter.
Mm-hmm. Peter and Peter.
Aye. Not Raymond. That's who I thought you had in mind. But anyway,
Peter and Raymond. Aye, no, the two sons.
No. I thought because you were thinking the one that scored in the cup final.
Okay.
We're struggling with this, so we need a narco here.
I'll just recap the question quickly. Since 2000, 6 men have won the English Championship playoffs as a manager, and they also played in Scotland at some point. Russell Martin, Alex Neil, Owen Coyle, Billy Davis. I told you that the one of the ones you're looking for has got a famous footballing nephew.
Is he? I take it he's not playing anymore.
Who?
The nephew.
No. So the uncle that you're looking for also managed Hearts up here, and managed this English team, and managed
Burnley.
George Burnley.
Oh, that's a good one.
I wouldn't have got that.
The last one.
Hold on, who's his nephew? Craig Burley. Is George Burley's nephew?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
Oh, jeez. 2006, this manager got Watford promoted via the playoffs.
Right.
And he played 4 games for Hearts in the early 90s. This is the one. This is the
early doozy. 90s.
Yep. This is incredible, this one, I have to say.
And we'd need his initials, I think.
It would be those. Do you remember those Watford managers of that? So it would have probably been the Watford manager that Malky Mackay played under when he got promoted with Watford, I would imagine. Something like that. Time, anyway.
I don't know about Watford.
Yeah, Elton John, but he didn't do that.
No, it's not him.
He didn't play Elton for Hearts. He couldn't even walk across a stage.
You want to have
no, was you know, never even get 10,000 steps in a concert. That's ridiculous. give us your nationals, Gordy.
AB.
Nah. We're beat, I think.
No, we're not. Adam or Alan.
Eddie
Boothroyd. No, yeah, England under 21 manager as well, wasn't he, or something like that.
Well, I'm off skate. Gordon, enjoy your holiday. Aye,
thank you.
Good luck. I hope you come back
tanned.
I hope you don't get arrested.
Remember, aye, watch yourself over there.
Stricter over that neck of the woods.
I keep everything.
Some
on.
Of the things that you like to get up to.
I'll bring you presents, boys.
Behave yourself if you can. And yeah, we be will be back tomorrow, 6 o'clock. We're going nowhere this summer, so look forward to it. Speaking to you then. And in the meantime, stay right there. Callum Gallagher is up next.